from stpetecatalyst.com.
Welcome to Political Party with Adam Smith. We have Pinellas Supervisor of Elections Julie Marcus with us. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, Adam.
And we have a lot of talk in Tallahassee and really across the state about legislation in both the Senate and the House that would dramatically curtail voting by mail. Pinellas County is ground zero for voting by mail. And we have really, your predecessor and former boss, Deb Clark, was kind of a pioneer, took a lot of heat early on. I remember Democrats and the Tampa Bay Times editorial board was complaining about excessive voting by mail. And now I think it's fair to say people love it in Pinellas County. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a long-winded way of saying, when we talk vote by mail, in the last election, 43% of the state voted by mail. In Pinellas County, it was like 62%. Why is it working? What do you think of this legislation? How much does it concern you?
Well, I mean, vote by mail, like you said, in Pinellas County, these voters back in 2008, all we did was educate them that they didn't need an excuse, which you have to have an excuse in Florida to get a ballot mailed to you, which is much different than how some other states are. But those voters embraced this opportunity. They saw the convenience of it. We had always have had staff manned ballot drop-off locations, a secure, convenient way to return your ballot as an alternative to using the United States Postal Service. And, you know, in 2020, because of, I think, COVID, I think we need to be very mindful that we don't know if that election year was an anomaly or if it's the new norm. That's why I think we should always take a moderated approach to elections, especially coming off of such a kind of outlier of an election that we saw in 2020, because we don't know what's going to be the new thing. So vote by mail is just one of those things where we've said time and time again, it's extremely convenient to voters, and it is the proven way to increase voter turnout.
It also, you know, this, you go back to 2000, and there were all these problems and some subsequent elections on election day with crowds of people, you know, long lines. Voting by mail really is a way to alleviate that election day stress, right?
Yeah. So 2000, which, you know, great kudos to the legislature. They passed the 2001 Election Reform Act because we had issues that needed to be addressed after 2000. That's stating the obvious. But they took corrective measures. And one of the things was they got they put in the no excuse mail ballot. That's what happens when you have issues, you correct them. And now we're here in 2020, and we had a flawless election in Florida. It worked very well. And mail ballots attributed to that. You do take pressure off of election day by allowing voters to cast mail ballots. And like I said, in Pinellas County, we were able to release 82% of election results by 7:05, and we had 100% precincts reported by 8:17 p.m. What does that do, Adam? That makes voters confident in the results of the election, which you didn't see in some other states that didn't allow for the way that Florida processes ballots, you know, tabulates ballots, so on and so forth. So the way things were set up allowed for us to have successful elections.
There are a couple, there's, as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, nobody has cited examples, significant examples of fraud with the mail ballots, right? There have been cases generally in Miami and South Florida with back in the day of people delivering or filling in fake ballots, but there's nothing this last election, right?
Yeah. So as an election administrator, as much as I believe in access in the process, I absolutely believe in the integrity of the process. I believe that you cannot sacrifice access or integrity at the risk of or under the guise of access, and vice versa. I don't think that you should be taking access and using integrity to prevent people from voting. So I think that there's a very delicate balance that must be maintained. And, you know, I'm a hardcore believer in Chapter 104, which has all the, you know, the criminal penalties for voter fraud, for ballot harvesting, for intimidation, for doing anything that would somehow influence how a person votes, returning mail ballots, anything that the laws are there. And what's important, like with any law, is that enforce the ones that are already on the books. Don't create now these new laws that have all these new provisions attached to them and say, this is going to help secure the process. We have a secure process in place. And so we actually, as a community, every one of us has a responsibility under the Florida Election Code. If you or have evidence of voter fraud, you're supposed to report that to the state attorney's office. And that's also our responsibility as administrators. I think in the 2020 general election, we had one case that is pending referral to the state attorney's office. I don't believe in that there's wide fraud. But even if there's one case, we need to make sure that we nip that in the bud, we send it to the state attorney's office, and it gets prosecuted.
I'm just curious, what was the gist of that case briefly?
The person attempted to vote twice. And the good news is that the laws in Florida prevented that voter from voting twice. The canvassing board rejected the voter's provisional ballot, but there was an attempt to vote twice.
So what would be the impact for taxpayers, local taxpayers, if we did things like not automatically renew vote by mail or did away, the proposal in the Senate is to do away with drop boxes altogether. What would that do budget-wise?
I think it would have a significant impact. We're talking in the tens of millions of dollars.
Just in Pinellas County alone?
No, statewide, but Pinellas County would have to revisit the way that we look at elections. I mean, if you're taking away core concepts of voting by mail, then of course we're going to have to, you know, rethink the entire process, because the last thing that we will do as administrators is say, okay, that law was passed, so we're just going to sit back and just let voters figure it out. No, we will be very proactive in making sure that voters gets signed back up for mail ballots, which could cost Pinellas County over $500,000. But we're going to do it because voters need to know and voters need to have access to the process. If we have to set up our drop boxes differently or do that differently, then we will. But we are going to make sure that voters have access to the process while maintaining that the integrity of the election.
This year, those who know the history of voting by mail in Florida know that it was something that really helped the Republican Party across the state. They were so good at voting by mail and getting their voters to vote by mail. It helped them become the majority party. There are a couple theories for why they're now kind of backpedaling. One is, well, the last election, there's bogus allegations of fraud, and it's just kind of catering to the base who thinks you can't trust elections. And the other is simply that because of COVID, there's sort of an artificially high number of people signed up for voting by mail. And if you're an election operative, communicating to that number of people is more expensive. And so there's almost an effort to shrink the voting by mail population so you're getting to really the likeliest voters. Do you think it's artificially high now because of COVID, the people signed up for voting by mail?
Well, we addressed that earlier. Like I said, I'm not sure if the voters who signed up to vote by mail, their reasoning. I'm sure COVID had some impact on that. This was part of our educational tool in 2020, that please don't stand in line, please don't congregate in large groups because we do have this pandemic. But, you know, I don't know if those voters now see that voting by mail is a convenient way to participate in election and will continue to do so. One thing that I will say about the election process from an administrator's perspective is that there's no room for party politics. So the why as to this bill is being proposed is not an issue as far as I'm concerned. I have an issue with partisan politics playing a role in a very nonpartisan process.
For what it's worth, you are a Republican, but I've never heard people sort of characterize you as a partisan supervisor of elections. What are some of the other specific elements of the proposals that worry you? There's one that would make it easier for people to be able to review the signatures and verify the signatures on ballots.
Yeah, so I think this is a great segue about where I was saying that partisan politics don't have a role to play in the election itself. So I recognize that you have political parties and you have candidates. Heck, I was a candidate. I understand that on the front end that you want to get out the vote. You want people to vote for you or parties to vote for their candidates. I understand that. That is the First Amendment. I embrace that. But there is a place for that. And then when a voter makes their decisions and they cast their ballot, there is no room for partisan politics when it comes to whether a voter is eligible to vote or whether that voter's ballot should be counted, because both of those things could influence the outcomes of elections.
Does this bill make it easier for partisan operatives to sort of hold up and question every ballot?
In my opinion, yes. I feel that by having access to voter information, meaning the name, address, party affiliation, so on and so forth, this is accessible to those entities. And now you're coupling in a concept of eligibility in regard to being able to challenge. And there's no timelines. So there's no timeline on when this challenging ends. So election results could be released election night, and you still could have a challenge process taking place in regard to voter signatures. And then in another area, Adam, in regard to people having access to actual ballots where there are over and under votes, where people could throughout the process, which is, I'm sorry, right now is a felony. And if this bill became law, as a supervisor, as a canvassing board member, I would have to pick between, do I want to commit a misdemeanor or do I want to commit a felony? Because the way that this bill's written, I would have to post, or the canvassing board would have to post, ballots with overs and undervotes, which is releasing election results. And we all cannot be naive to the fact that you can't create some statistical analysis from that and determine potential how a race is going one way or another. And if those signatures, if those ballots can be looked at post when election results are released, then yes, you could influence an outcome of an election by challenging signatures, by objecting to how a ballot, is whether it's for candidate A or candidate B, so what have you, which is extremely alarming and concerning.
So explain to me how that differs from what we have now, where you can have election observers. Is it only in a recount where the representatives from both sides can sort of review the undervotes and overvotes over the shoulder of the canvassing board?
Yeah, so as part of just every single election, I mean, like I said, I've been doing this for 18 years. This is how it's been. So ballots are received. Under law, supervisors of elections and canvassing boards have been entrusted with determining the eligibility of a voter. We verify signatures if a voter forgot to sign or there's a signature variance, then a voter would then get information about how to cure that. And this is all done through a very deliberate process to ensure that A, voters have access, but B, if there is evidence of fraud, that it can be identified. And then when it comes to looking at ballots, so you have ballots that are damaged, you have ballots where a voter may have filled in an oval, crossed it out, filled in another oval. Those ballots go to the canvassing board so they can look at them, say, okay, the voter intended to do this, and they duplicate it so that that ballot is counted properly. Currently, candidates have access, parties have access to that process. Right downstairs, the canvassing board, the duplication area is open to the public. These are public meetings. You can observe that process taking place. You can hear the canvassing board making decisions. The canvassing board, believe it or not, uses things like candidate A, candidate B, or the top or the bottom, because if you were to use names, you would be releasing election results, which is a felony. So there's great care put into ensuring that the public doesn't have access to election results, because if you did, then you have information that could then change the way election, you know, your campaign or the party may conduct their get out the vote efforts, which is flies in the face of our of what the purpose of our elections are about. You know what I mean? That people need to be making independent decisions outside of the knowing the results.
We have, as far as I know, I think there are 66 of 67 election supervisors in Florida that are opposed both the Senate and the House version.
Yeah, that is an error. All 67 supervisors of elections are opposed to this bill. I know that that was said in a House committee meeting by a senator, but it was acknowledged that there was a misunderstanding, and that it's all 67 supervisors are opposed to not only the Senate bill, but the House bill.
But I'm just curious, your reaction to you 67 supervisors presumably know more about how to do an election than anybody, and yet the legislature is sort of not trusting you or thinking they may know better. Why do you think?
I think that each of us has a role to play in the process. I understand that as legislature, they're lawmakers, they're policymakers. I understand that. And I believe that we have a constitutional, we're defined in the state U.S. or the state constitution as constitutional officers. We also play a role, and so do canvassing boards. I just feel that meaningful access or meaningful transparency cannot be to such a degree that you are compromising the integrity of the election process by releasing election results, by threatening the security of the election, threatening the security of voter information. I think that that's extremely dangerous. And I think that supervisors of elections who voters have entrusted to conduct the election both fairly and securely should be responsible for certain aspects of the process. I feel very strongly about that.
Okay. Julie, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I'm a guy who's come around slowly to voting by mail, and so I appreciate being able to do it, and I hope I still...
Well, I'm just great. Just thank you for voting.
Okay. Thanks, Julie. Good to see you again.
All right. Bye-bye, sir.
Bye-bye.
From stpetecatalyst.com.